Fantasy. Hello! I started recording already.
Oh!
Get my pirate face on. Welcome to What Are We Talking About? Wouta is pronounced Wouta. Like, Wouta.
Someone was very upset at us recently because we spell the name of our podcast W-A-W-T-A and pronounce it Wouta. Because that's not right in their eyes.
Apparently,
but nothing's ever right in their eyes. So
only an O sound
can
go Wouta. But, you know, we like to put a little spin on it. Wouta.
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 So, yeah. I am...
out of frame.
I'm back in frame.
Hello.
Hello. I am Samantha Kane, known on the social medias as the Belladonna Cosplay. And my whole deal with this is really to ask those in the stratosphere, how weird do you want it?
The stratosphere?
I was trying something new.
Okay. I'll allow it. I'm Drea, and I do taboo, myth, and invisible stories. TMI. Because I overshare everything. Also known as what is not found in the white man's textbook, because it's a lot of history that most people don't know.
Yeah.
For one reason or another, we're not taught it. So, we get into it. And today's grab bag is getting into what we were going to get into. It's all of the little questions that mostly this one over here asked me when I presented things.
And I have a lot of questions.
It's great. That's part of this whole thing. That's how we have a dialogue. It's how we have a conversation. It's why we're talking about something. We query and we engage. And a lot of the times I'll be like, well, there was a lot of content. And I only dug in this deep because I needed to have time. And I go, well, I'll make a note of it. So I have a running note in my phone that I put every little question that gets asked while we're doing this in there. I try to catch them all. And then I'll go back and I'll re-listen to our published episodes to try to catch even more. Anyway, most of them are Sammy going, what? So I'll write it down.
I question literally everything in the world around me. I question why we don't talk enough about pig farts. She loves that.
You know what we're talking about this time, though?
Pig farts?
No. What are we talking about? So, I've got a whole list of things, and we'll just go off of time and how long it takes.
Okay, but before we do that...
Yeah.
What are we drinking?
I'm drinking water.
So am I!
Because I am tired as fuck!
Cheers.
I was not satisfying.
No, it wasn't. Drinking water isn't satisfying when you're us.
Well, I needed a break. If I was drinking, we would never get through this. It would be a hot fucking mess because I am already too exhausted to really... Yeah, we're not drinking. Not tonight.
No.
It was a long day.
No, tomorrow we're going to be drinking a lot.
Tomorrow, yes.
Tomorrow's is drunk night.
We're going to... drink.
All right, what are we talking about?
We are talking about a plethora of things.
Okay, bet. I'm so excited. Like, I was pretty dead before this, but now I'm raring to go. I feel like Letty in Lovecraft County, where she comes running out of the bathroom, and she's like, we gotta get the hell out of here!
She's sprinting. It's impressive. Also wonderful.
Oh. God, Lovecraft County has changed my life.
We did that this weekend, too. After the photo shoot, we got home and we marathoned all 4 hours of episodes. Four, I think. Are they hour long?
Four of them.
Something like that. I know there's four. I don't know if they're an hour. But we did all of them in one sitting and are current and are very big fans and can't wait for more. I know there's
president.
Another one out. There's another one out. We'll do it tomorrow when we are human people again. But fucking hell.
Fucking president.
Oh my
from
God.
Scandal, isn't it? And it kills me. I'm holy waiting for shit. Olivia Pope to come out from around a corner and just be like, earn me. That's all I know about Scandal.
I don't know anything about Scandal.
I don't know jack shit about Scandal. Anyway, what are we talking about?
We're talking about all kinds of stuff. The first one was a rabbit hole.
It's about a rabbit hole, or it is...
It turned into...
A rabbit hole. Can we put that on the list? Why we say it's a rabbit hole?
Alice in Wonderland.
No, it's way before Alice in Wonderland. I feel like it's a thing, like going down the water hole. The water hole!
There's a snake in my boat!
The water hole! I don't want to go to the water hole!
All right, we'll put it in here.
It's the blackest Nala was in all of The Lion King.
It's like, true.
The water hole! What the hell I want to go to the water hole for?
Going down the rabbit hole. My money is on Alice in Wonderland. But
Why was it a rabbit hole to begin with?
Why was it a rabbit hole? Bugs Bunny, maybe?
It was way before Bugs Bunny. I think it's because rabbit holes are probably, like, long and winding, and there's...
You know why? Because when you have ratters or other rodent-fetching dogs, they're bred to go into the holes of these animals and go get them.
What the fuck are ratters?
So I bet that's... They're dogs that are small enough to go fucking kill rats. They're bred to kill rats. They're terriers. Terriers didn't start off tiny for no fucking reason. It was so that they would dive into holes and get the fucking critters. Rats.
Wow.
Rabbits.
I didn't know that.
Pick your rodent. Meerkats.
The more you know.
Which I tried to get it. Do you remember when you told me, hey, look up illegal muskrat pet ring in Philly? Do you remember that?
No.
No?
Was there a reason I asked you about that?
No, you said that it was a thing, and I was like, oh, is it a thing?
Illegal, like, muskrat. Yeah.
It's illegal to have muskrats as a pet in the state of Pennsylvania, but especially in Philly, and you muskrat. Were like, there's a whole muskrat pet ring
in
illegal
Philly.
Ring going
yes,
on in Philly.
I remember this, because I came close to knowing someone who was in the illegal muskrat ring.
Well, I didn't find jack shit on that ring. I have some interesting things about muskrats and in the general area, but could not find anything about this illegal muskrat ring in Philly. I wonder why. So I'm going to pass that one
bunch
off.
Bunch of jabronis.
To you.
Yeah,
to
I'm
going to
find it.
But what
I'm
I
not
did
in
find,
contact with the person anymore, so.
What I did find was this article that said the most legally trapped critter in New Jersey. A big rodent, some like to fry, and there's a whole ass cookout of muskrats.
They eat muskrat. That's I, yeah, fucking New Jersey, man.
Yep.
Fucking New Jersey.
They bagged nearly 20,000 muskrats in the 2017 to 2018.
Do they? I don't know if I'm maxing out right now.
Semi-aquatic rodents live in marshes and other wetlands, and they're prevalent in the two counties, Cumberland and Salem.
So it's, the muskrats are in the state. They're not transporting them. They're not having, like, correct. Smuggling muskrats into New Jersey. No, they're just catching muskrats.
They live in them swamps naturally.
Fucking New Jersey.
And so the pelts are really inexpensive because they catch so many of them.
Of course they are.
However,
they're like purses on the street.
And I quote, however, muskrat pelts fetched only about $2.86 a piece, making muskrat one of the least valuable species behind only possum. And yet, they got 20,000 of
muskrats.
Them and ate them. It's fucking wild.
That's really funny.
Muskrat dinners have been a staple in the Lower Alloways Creek Fire Company in Salem County for nearly 80 years.
Ew.
They've been eating muskrats as a thing for 80 years.
Ew. Okay.
The dinner was canceled in January 2018 because of a number of factors, including bad weather and depressed pelt prices. However, the fire company revived the tradition this year and sold out. The muskrats are served deep fried.
Of course they are. How else are you going to eat muskrat?
You don't. How about not?
I haven't had muskrat before. I've had some weird ones, but I haven't had muskrat. God.
So, that was all that I found of interest on muskrats in Philly. It's
ridiculous.
I would like to pass that one back off to you.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
see
no.
what you can find.
I think I want to try to locate, like, a list of the wildest things that go on in Philly without people knowing about them.
Yeah. Yeah. A Philly episode would be kind of fun.
Oh, my God. It's just... it's always... We're gonna do, like, a playoff of, like, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Like, it's always...
It's always weird. It's always, always weird in Philly. It is.
It's so weird
Philly's
in Philly.
Philly's such a unique city, and we've talked about this before on the podcast, but one of the best parts about it is it's blue collar. Like, it's your average working class.
Someone...
Like, it's your comrades, and they're fucking weird.
Somebody posted that they got back to their car, and they were really nervous that they got a parking ticket, but it was a fully eaten corn cob. Like,
just the corn bone?
Like, the corn bone underneath the wiper.
What?
Like, where a ticket
I know. I have friends who would do that shit. Like, I have people living in Philly right now that would do that shit.
It means that somebody walked down the street eating a full corn, but, like, ate all the kernels and sucked
and
that thing dry.
Instead of sticking it in a trash can or on the street, they made a point to stick it under someone's windshield wiper. Philly is real fun, yo. There's a little bit of vandalism, property damage that kind of runs through their blood, but boy, do they make it fun and entertaining.
I love Philly so fucking much.
It. I fucking love it. Like, some of our like, wild improv nights are just you and me hitting the town. She and I, if you prefer. Hitting the town, rolling them dice, and seeing where we end up. Oh, boy.
You know there's people who have horses in Philly?
Yes.
Yeah. There's, like, a whole group of black guys that got horses, and they have the kids ride horses in the city. It's the coolest thing.
Yep. Yep. There was a whole big deal made about the horses that are kept in the city under poor conditions that are supposed to, that drive the carriages around, that are, like, a big tourist trap. Like, those horses are not treated well.
But the black dudes who just own fucking horses in the city, they treat them horses well.
They do. Because that's where their priorities are actually having the horses and not a for-profit, penny-scraping business. That should just stop. Like, stop giving horse buggy rides.
Oh, my God.
Through Center City and Old City, like,
oh my God,
stop, just stop.
I just remember the guy at the protest who stole a horse.
I fucking love that. Stand that
shit was amazing.
If I was in the street and somebody rode up on me mounted horseback, most of them have no fucking clue what they're doing, so I could snatch up that horse real quick. Whoop, I'd do it.
Yeah,
I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Fucking beautiful.
Fucking anarchy right here in my middle name.
What's next?
Okay, do you remember when you asked me about Chinese fire drills?
Yes, yes.
This is like an old one. I think this is one of the earliest
Well,
ones.
Because when I, fun fact, I was on a sketch comedy show in college that I helped write, produce, found, that actually lasted several years after I left Penn State, which was really, really cool. And it was just such a great outlet for us crazy-ass kids. But we had a sketch called Chinese fire drill. And it was myself and, like, another dude in the backseat and two dudes up front. And the one dude up front was, like, he was Korean. He was Korean. Mm-hmm. And he wrote the joke of the black dude in the backseat saying, he's like, guys, I don't know anything about a Japanese fire drill. And he's like, it's a Chinese fire drill, first of all. And so they're like, all right, let's do it. And we do it. And then we get all back in the car. And the black dude that's in the backseat with me, he was gone, and homeless Eddie was in his place, and he's like, I got in the car when the other dude went running, and we're like, what the fuck, where is he? And he calls us from another car, and he's like, guys, I think I'm in the wrong car. And there's like a wolf man, one of our fans who tracked us down at like the hub on campus, we put him in the video, and he's in the front seat, and he's just like, and it was just, it was so funny, like, we had such fun with it, and that was my only real interaction with a Chinese fire drill, was writing that sketch, and then I think I asked you about it when we were talking about it.
Yeah. I think my only experience with it is, youth groupish times, and just, like,
For, we don't talk about those. We don't talk
that's
about
that's the only time that I think I ever did it. I don't think that like, because we were all young and stupid, and we were like, oh, let's do that. So I think it happened a couple of times, but I mean, it was never anything that, like, you hear some stories of shit getting, like, crazy. Like, a van full or, like, stopping on the highway. And, like, it's just some
pure insanity, because nothing can be trusted in the hands of youth.
No. No. But.
I hope that sounded really weird.
I have the history of the phrase, and it's super racist.
Oh, God, no.
Super racist.
Oh, no.
Are you ready for a beautiful slice of how America has discriminated against and persecuted the Asians? Are you ready?
I'm uncomfortable.
This is a great NPR article called What's So Chinese About a Chinese Fire Drill? Racism.
Racism.
All right.
I just want that to be just a caption of just racism.
Oh, boy. Enter the phrase Chinese fire drill into YouTube and you'll find page upon page of videos of the classic car prank that's been popular since the 1960s. For the uninitiated, a Chinese fire drill can be described as a form of vehicular musical chairs. Here's how it works. A car full of people, usually teenagers, stops at a red light. Everyone then gets out and runs around the car until just before the light changes back to green, with all participants jumping inside the closest door. Anyone who fails to get back in the car is left behind as the rest zoom off.
What? I don't remember that part.
Apparently that's part of it.
Well.
So you better get your ass in the car.
I guess, I mean, we did write the sketch exactly like that, but I didn't know people actually left people behind.
One of the most famous pop culture references to the game appears in the opening of the early seasons of the classic 1970s sitcom, Happy Days.
Gross.
In which Richie Cunningham and friends can be seen racing around his car, holding up traffic in the process. As car culture reached its height in the 1950s and 60s, the expression Chinese fire drill developed two meanings. The first was the aforementioned prank. The second was a reference to a traffic accident that a December 1962 issue of American Speech described as an accident scene of great confusion, such as a school bus or cattle truck upset.
Mm.
But the question remains, what exactly is Chinese about either of these definitions? While a 96 post in the Random House Word of the Day blog states that Chinese here is not necessarily a racial sentiment, it's hard to see how that's true. NPR dropping the fucking triple. While someone tried to say it wasn't racist, it definitely
it
is racist.
It is.
Starting around World War I, the descriptor Chinese began to be frequently added to phrases to describe situations that were confusing, incomprehensible, and messy.
I don't like that.
Yeah. So this is the one that I found a lot of time, the Chinese ace. These included a Chinese ace, which referred to an incompetent pilot, Chinese national anthem.
Okay, yeah, I remember they had that type of character in a lot of things back in the 50s.
Really born out of...
Like that, the teeth and...
World War I,
yeah.
50s and 60s. God,
that is just so cringeworthy.
Chinese national anthem to describe an explosion. And Chinese landing, which was used by pilots to refer to bumpy, dangerous touchdowns because the aircraft had one wing low. A cringeworthy joke about what Asian languages sound like that should sound a bit familiar.
Okay.
So, when it was one wing low, they thought, that sounds sing-songy and,
okay,
and vowel-y like Chinese, so we're going to say it's a Chinese landing.
This is all Americans doing this, right?
Americans.
Okay.
Yes. Interestingly, Chinese landing and the one wing low pun were both so entrenched in military lingo that they were included in the 1944 edition of the Official Guide to the Army Air Forces.
Oh my God. All right.
Note how all of the above phrases refer to things that are negative and inferior in some way.
Yeah.
It's also important to remember that anti-Asian sentiments had existed in the United States for decades before World War I, and that the United States government did everything it could to keep Chinese and other Asian immigrants off American shores.
And that's what I wanted to do, because I'm going to do the episode where I break down all of the things that are mentioned in Lovecraft County in that country. I always say county. Is that sundown towns are an actual fucking thing. Sundown counties, all of that is real. It is still real to this day in the South. And actually, the sundown towns were put in place in the 1800s for Asians in the United States. So it's there's so many fucking things that we as a nation have done to Asian Americans and just Asians in general, between the internment camps for the Japanese, the Chinese having to work the railroad, banning them from whole towns and cities. Like,
and now, thanks to an idiot who is orange, we're having a resurgence. Because we want to call it the Asian flu virus.
So let's
just bring all this shit right back.
I don't know if it was him or someone in his administration called it the Kung flu, which is pure fucking insanity.
It burns. In fact, the Dictionary of Slang and Unconventional Usage traces the first pejorative use of Chinese to around 1880.
That was not a good year for Chinese in America, I'll say that right now.
The 1882 Chinese Exclusion Act prohibited Chinese laborers, like the ones who built the Transcontinental Railroad, from immigrating to the United States for 10 years. And several other laws that followed were aimed at preventing Chinese people from entering the country. By 1924, these laws had extended to all Asians, a rule that was upheld until the passage of the 1965 Immigration Act. After the two world wars, Chinese continued to be used as a descriptor to indicate things that were hasty, cheap, or amateur. The late New York Times columnist William Sapphire noted in his book, I Stand Corrected, that in the 1940s and 50s, Chinese home runs referred to home runs that were either high pop-ups or ones that exited the park just along the foul line. And school children used to play Chinese whispers.
What?
Instead of the game, telephone.
What the fuck?
Because the messages would quickly become garbled and lost along the way. The phrase Chinese fire drill became popular once again with the military during the Vietnam War. In fact, several books written by former soldiers after the war used the phrase in their titles or descriptions of combat. In his 1967 book, The New Legions, which was sharply critical of the war, Donald Duncan quotes a fellow soldier as saying, "It must have looked like a Chinese fire drill back on the river as the shooting started."
What the fuck?
A veteran quoted in Craig Howe's Voices of the Vietnam POWs, also used the phrase while describing a particularly chaotic battle in August 1964. And the mystery writer Michael Wolff titled his 1986 thriller about Vietnam-era POWs as The Chinese Fire Drill.
First of all, the Vietnamese aren't Chinese. First of all. Just throwing that out there. In case y'all didn't know that the Vietnamese are just not Chinese.
It's so vastly different.
Oh my god. It's like that scene in Dust Till Dawn. He's like, he's like, you don't look Chinese. He's like, neither does he. Asshole.
Hello. Aside from the occasional reference to the car prank, the phrase Chinese fire drill has mostly faded from everyday use today. Perhaps it is time to rename the 1960s era prank. Suggestions are welcome in the comments. So that was NPR's history of Chinese fire drill. And I found similar things in Wikipedia, but I enjoyed the NPR article and I thought
now I'm not proud of the sketch anymore. Like, fuck.
Oh, there was a little bit of a origin story found on Wikipedia that wasn't mentioned in the NPR. Mm. The term goes back to early 1900s and is alleged to have originated when a ship run by British officers and a Chinese crew practiced a fire drill for a fire in the engine room. The bucket brigade were to draw water from the starboard side, pass it to the engine room, and pour it onto the fire. To prevent flooding, a separate crew was to ferry the accumulated water from the engine room up to the main deck and heave water over the port side. The drill had previously gone according to plan until the orders became confused in translation. The bucket brigade began to draw the water from the starboard side, run directly over to the port side, and then throw the water overboard, bypassing the engine room completely. Additionally, the term is documented to have been used in the U.S. Marine Corps during World War II, where it was often expressed in the phrase, as screwed up as a Chinese fire drill. It's also commonly used by Americans during the Korean War and the Vietnam War. And it shows some other examples. Chinese puzzle is a puzzle with no or a hard-to-fathom solution.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. So.
Well, I...
So,
hate that.
Americans have been calling things Chinese to denote confusion.
There's so many...
inferiority.
There's so many things we have now in America that, like, to break it all down, you would have to teach not just an entire semester, but, like, you would have to dedicate your entire college career to breaking down all of the terrible racist things that are going on in this country and that we just say or allow to be part of our fucking culture. Yep. Like...
It's really upsetting.
It's so upsetting.
It's so upsetting. And like, it kind of gives more impact to some of the battles that are being won right now.
Yes.
When it comes to Confederate statues and
yes.
Native lands, mm-hmm. and their spaces, and taking down all of the racist-ass names of team names. And like,
oh, my God. I sent you last night. The racism that's in our national parks.
Yeah.
That, first of all, our national parks were stolen from indigenous lands, but also there are parts of our country that are now quote-unquote national parks. I mean, not quote-unquote, they just are national parks. That used to be whole settlements of Black Americans after the end of slavery. And they were ripped from their homes. Mm-hmm. The same with, if you didn't know this, Central Park. Used to be a thriving Black community, and they uprooted it to make a fucking park. So there's so many, many, many things in this country that are fucking terrible.
So when you say make it great again, it was never great.
Yeah. Oh, joy. Bet y'all weren't ready for this.
I'm waking up, y'all. Are you awake? I'm feeling a little bit more alive.
Like, we have
now.
Fun here, but at the same time, the whole concept of what are we talking about was born out of these are the things that we don't fucking talk about.
Correct. Things that are not discussed, things that are just not acknowledged mm-hmm. or swept under the rug or avoided completely, and we gon' talk about it.
Yep. Be with us on this ride. What's next?
Do you remember? Because these are all things that you asked me. Do you remember when you asked me, when we were getting into sheep and lamb, and you were like, hey, do African peoples eat sheep?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Guess what?
They do not.
They totally do.
I'm just kidding. Of course
literally
they do.
Literally every part of Africa has sheep and goats as
yes.
a part of
Yes, absolutely. Same I know one thing with me is that I would love to know the origins of goats and religious practices and spiritual practices.
Ooh, cool. Yep.
In Africa, because a lot of, and in media and movies and TV and entertainment, it's twisted in that, like, oh, it's the witch doctor or it's voodoo or hoodoo that they do things with goats. But there's clearly a spiritual reason why Africans have this relationship with goats.
Is that something you want me to look into, or do you want to get into it?
I think I want to get into it, because cool. I want to dive deeper into that, as well as voodoo, hoodoo,
bet,
all that.
Hell yeah. Well, this was a very informed article talking about diets all over the continent mm-hmm. of Africa, and they listed all the regions. We've got west, east, north, south. It just breaks it all down. It talks about regional food differences and what's most common. It was really cool to me because I remember going to South Africa and having the... It doesn't matter. I don't need to talk about my experience in Africa.
I mean...
That would be...
I mean...
Pretty privileged. Anyway.
Don't.
They all commonly have sheep in
Ship.
Their diet. Sheep.
Sheep.
Lamb. Lamb's a big
Lamb
one.
Lamb is a big one.
And that is just baby sheep. So, yeah. And then on top of that, not only do they eat and raise sheep, there's total breeds.
Yes, the West African dwarf sheep.
So, there's... Do you want to try it?
Jilonke.
Cool. Primarily raised for meat.
Mm-hmm.
So, the answer is yes.
I feel like I should have known that.
You probably did know it in the back of your head, but when we were talking about it, you were like, huh, I wonder.
Well, I mean, me being Jamaican, we do a lot of goat. I think sheep specifically was what I was getting at, because right. I know there's a lot of goat. Mm-hmm. I mean, my grandmother early on, so my family immigrated from Jamaica, and my grandmother very, very early on decided it would be a good idea to slaughter a goat in the yard, and all her white neighbors were not okay. And it was a whole uproar and stir, so then we had a farm for years. I think my uncle still goes to this farm every Christmas and kills a goat and brings it back to make manish water, which is a Jamaican goat head soup. Which is awesome. So delicious. But don't slaughter goats in your front yard, especially in Maryland.
Mainly if your neighbors are not
cool with that.
Understanding of your culture. Okay, ready for the next one?
I am.
Okay, do you remember when you...
Do you remember? In September.
Ooh, it's warm. Okay.
Yeah.
Whew. You said things that you say to prevent you from sneezing when you have the feeling of sneezing and you're about to sneeze, what you do or say.
You say watermelon or you think of a cow is what I was raised with.
So I've found a lot of different ways that they say can stop sneezing. In fact, the list, there's so many. But some of the things that I saw that people say is pickles, watermelon,
yes,
pineapple.
I mean, that's just a safe word.
You said cucumber before.
Cucumber.
And all of these were popping up. I never saw anything about thinking of a cow. I saw watermelon several times. I did not see anything about
thinking of a cow.
But they're... is a huge list of supposed ways to stop yourself from sneezing. So I think it's fun to kind of get into this list. The first is to squeeze your nose. Mm-hmm. Just above the tip.
Above the tip? I know to do it like up here. Up on the bone part.
So many different ways.
Yeah. Just so touch your nose.
The part above the tip. And stretch it as if you were removing your nose out of your face. It should not be painful. Simply stretch out your cartilage, stopping the sneeze. They say blow your nose. They say pinch your upper lip.
I don't like that. Not a fan.
Says use your tongue to press behind your two front teeth or onto your palate.
The tip of the teeth.
This one's real weird. Stop, drop, and wait. Find a small table anywhere in your home. Hold your face about 1 inch from the table and stick your tongue out. The sneeze
what
should subside naturally. It takes about 5 to 7 seconds of sticking your tongue out as far as you can, 1 inch above the table.
What kind of male response?
Get ticklish. Tickle the roof of your mouth with your tongue. Distract yourself with your hands. Spread the thumb of one hand away from the fingers. Use the sharp edges of your nails and the thumb and index finger of your other hand and pinch the flap of skin between the spread thumb and the fingers.
What the fuck?
I've heard of that one. Grab the spot between your eyebrows. Pinch right under your nose. Hold light pressure on your ears. Stop someone else's sneeze with an absurd comment, which is what all of the different watermelon and pickles and all of that. It's in that saying something random to get your brain to engage on something else so that it's not focusing on
the anytime sneeze. You're about to sneeze, I'm just going to be like, dick me dead and bury me pregnant.
Get angry by clenching
get angry.
Your brows.
Use, I don't know how to get angry.
Use black seed or black cumin. Take a handful, wrap it in a cloth, roll it in your hand a bit, and then hold it next to your nose and inhale it.
That would just make you sneeze.
Okay. And then, this is crazy. There's this thing called snaciation.
Is that a sex thing?
No, it's an actual thing that people studying sneezes have talked about.
I think it's a sex thing.
It's legitimate medical disorder where you can't stop sneezing because your stomach is full. It generally happens immediately after consuming quite a large meal. How do you avoid it? Don't eat so much.
My dad would sneeze like 7 times in a row.
I found snaciation a couple of times on here, and it's wild to
me. It is so crazy.
There's also suffer from sun sneezing, which I have. It says 18 to 35% of people, sometimes referred to as achoo, autosomnal dominant, compelling helio-ophthalmic outburst syndrome.
Is that where achoo comes from?
When you, no, they're just trying to make it.
Oh.
That's when you sneeze when you're exposed to bright lights. It's hereditary and can be treated with antihistamines if it's inconvenient.
If inconvenient. Wow. I don't understand. Okay. I don't understand the tongue above a desk thing. Like, the next time I sneeze...
I've seen...
Just for research purposes, the next time I'm about to sneeze, I'm gonna do that, or I'm gonna lean over a fucking desk and stick my tongue out.
Well, I've seen another one that says to just stick your tongue out as far as you can.
I shouldn't do that on camera.
We'll both do it. Where's fucking Ryan? Are you in there?
Oh, shit.
We'll face each other and stick our tongues out as far as we can. Straight out.
Straight out? I have a thick tongue, and yours is very thin.
I can go wide.
I feel like mine's way thicker than yours. Can you do the taco thing?
Sometimes. Oh, taco. Mm-hmm.
That looks gross.
The one where you pull... I can't do it all the time, but you pull the tip of your tongue back so that it curves inwards on the two sides. I can't. That's the one.
I can do weird things with my tongue. I'm very good with my tongue. I learned at a very early age on how to tie a cherry or the cherry stem.
Oh yeah, no, I was bossing.
Very young.
Hail you. Way too young to be doing that shit. It means you're a good kisser. Not just that, folks. Here, snaciation comes up again. A researcher nicknamed it snaciation. Okay, wait. Some people sneeze after eating large meals. This condition isn't well understood by the medical community. A researcher nicknamed it snaciation, which is a combination of the words sneeze and satiation. The name stuck. The name stuck. To avoid snaciation, chew slowly and eat smaller meals. Wise words.
Yeah.
Sage advice.
I mean, that's good for anybody. At any time.
And this comes back to what we were going over. Some people believe that saying an odd word right before you feel you're about to sneeze distracts you from sneezing. Evidence for this tip is entirely anecdotal, but just as you're gearing up to sneeze, say something like pickles. Blow your nose.
Say your safe word.
Pinch your nose. It says all kinds of, pinch your nose near the very top, just below inside your eyebrows, or pinching your nose at the nostrils, like you might be smelling something bad. Your tongue, you may be able to show tickling the roof of your mouth. Also to press it against your front teeth. And that's it for this one.
Blech. I've actively done better about not holding in my sneezes lately. Good. Like when
it's so bad for you.
It's so bad. Like things would pop inside me. Mm-hmm. Like I would feel things pop, not only in my chest and stomach, but like in my head.
Yeah.
Which is not.
It's not good.
Good.
And it's true. We covered sneezing last. Wow, that's a lot of hearts.
So many hearts. So many beautiful hearts.
Woo. We covered. Originally, we were talking about. What's the whole thing of sneezing and bless you and all of that. But one of the things I mentioned then, you can go on our Patreon and get our early episodes if you haven't heard those yet.
Join our Patreon. Listen to early episodes. The middle segment of the episode is a little rough to get through because we had another individual on the podcast that wasn't very good. But
she wasn't a storyteller.
We're good.
But our content's real great. So definitely go back and I get into all of the sneezing and bless you and how to say that in a bunch of different languages.
That's a good episode.
I really liked that one.
Yeah, that's a good, I was going to say good show, but.
It was a good show.
It was a good show.
It's a good show.
The sneezing, the White House, and the pee one are like top tier for me.
Top episodes.
We talked about pee.
Pee. What was I getting at with that? Sneezes then. Oh yeah, about how it exits your face at 200 miles per hour, and that's true and accurate, so stopping that, probably not good for your insides.
I always held in my sneezes. Now I just let them rip.
Okay. Are you ready for the next one?
Yes.
Do you remember? When you asked me to look up mosquito bites and marking a little X with your fingernail on the mosquito bite?
Yes, because my Jamaican grandmother always dug very, very deep X's into all my mosquito bites and my horsefly bites.
Well, this came up on a couple of different places. In one article, it's 6 old wives' tales that are actually true, and marking an X on your mosquito bite is supported by science to be helpful.
Really? It's probably like releasing blood and shit, right?
Yeah, you break down the proteins.
I am smart.
Also,
I am edumacated.
In tangent with that is giving the itch and pain signals travel along the same pathways. So in order to drown out itch, you replace it with small pain, and your brain, because pain is something we're wired to focus on and pay attention to because it's a survival skill, your brain focuses on the pain and you forget the itch.
Huh. That's like, have you ever seen Major Pain?
No.
Oh my god. Major Pain is so dumb, but so funny. It's one of the older Wayans brothers, and he's like hardened, went to war, like experienced like he was in the shit kind of thing. He does it to a soldier, and then he gets hired to take care of a bunch of little boys. At the camp.
Oh, yeah, I have seen this.
And the guy's, like, leg is blown off, and he's like, my leg, oh my god, I'm in so much pain. And he breaks his finger, and he's like, made you forget about your leg, didn't it?
But, like, that's a common thing. Like, that's, it's wild how your brain functions. Because it says here,
that man shouldn't have been around kids.
No, definitely not. But it says, itching is not entirely well understood. It shares many of the same sensory pathways and processing centers in the brain and body as pain does, although pain is more complex and powerful due to its potentially threatening nature and our need for quick reactions to those signals.
I hate everything about itching. I hate it.
Except when chronic.
What?
It's talking about pain. You need quick reactions to pain signals, except when they're chronic.
Hey, my pain may be chronic, but my style is iconic.
Hey! All right, so we'll go from that one over to where we talk about the other 6 wives' tales to get to that. Oh, and then another one.
Why are they called old wives' tales? Is it just, like, because they're old wives that talk about it?
Because it's something that's orally passed on through tradition.
Why wouldn't they be called old passed on tales?
Because the ladies were the one actually doing fucking work in the house. Like, they finished it out.
All right.
Another true, accurate way to treat a mosquito bite, that is one of the old wives' tales, is putting a hot spoon on the mosquito bite to stop it from itching.
All right. You know, if you've already heated the spoon, you might as well use it for other things.
Simply soak a metal spoon in hot water and then hold the heated metal against the bite. Give it a few minutes and the itching will stop.
Okay. I was making a thing about absinthe, not drugs. Don't do drugs that are super hard and harmful for your body.
There was a joke in some of this that was like, oh, so I can cook my drugs and help my mosquito
no,
bites.
Don't cook your drugs. No. Cook your sugar so you can do absinthe, but not, no.
The itching of the mosquito bite is caused by proteins the bug injects into its victim to keep the blood from clotting while the insect feeds. The heat of the spoon breaks down those proteins and stops the itch, but it also plays into that whole pain neural pathway dominating. You feel the heat. So.
Hey, remember when I told you I performed surgery on myself the other day?
Yeah.
I heated. This is really.
Are you ready?
Are you guys ready for something ridiculous oversharing? What are we talking about? I'm not going to talk about what the surgery was, but essentially I did surgery on my own body. I removed something. I was bleeding.
It's so much more ominous when you don't say
that. I know. I removed something from my body.
My body produced it and I took it off.
No, it's just a little skin tag. Wait, and they all the things online are like, don't cut off skin tags. But, like, I live my life fast and loose sometimes because I'm just consistently
I've
in
fucking
pain.
Dug warts out of my body before. Like whatever. I've decided you're not going to be on my body anymore, and I'll do what I gotta to remove you.
I don't
do it as often anymore, but I definitely have dug shit out of my
I tried the old wives' tale method of, like, tying it off, and it's just, like, I'm still young. Like, I'm not, like, 50. I don't want to deal with those yet. And it was just in such a place that I was like, fuck it. So I just started, I cut it off, and it was bleeding, and I was like, I instantly, the Virgo in me kicked in, and I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna bleed to death, which is so stupid. So then, the scissors that I was using that are metal, and I heated them.
Cauterize the wound!
I cauterized myself.
I knew it was coming.
Which sucks, just so everybody knows, when you cauterize yourself, it sucks. I hope our neighbor didn't hear me, because
I hope she did, because she sucks.
I don't want her to, like, call the cops or something, because, like, there are weird, like, torture noises coming out of our house.
Well, it's not going to be the last time that happens, so.
This is very true.
She better get fucking used to it.
Yeah, but.
All right, so what was really entertaining is I then found an article that says how to stop mosquito bites from itching fast. And this is the craziest list that just goes on and on and on.
I love it.
Of things that they say can help with mosquito bites. It's literally got a table of contents that doesn't make a whole
lot
of sense.
Fruits and vegetables.
Okay. We're going to go through these because this is shit that people have said enough times that it was compiled in a housewife article.
Dear God. Help us.
Use the baking soda remedies. A solid soluble solution will regularly straightforwardness insect itching. Two manifestations of natively constructed pastes with baking soda are known to be particularly effective at this. The grammar is so atrocious.
Jeez.
Baking soda with warm water. 1 tablespoon to 1/4 teaspoon of water is a decent degree to utilize. I swear to God, this translation, I don't think that they speak English as their native language. lightly apply to the affected area. Utilize your clean fingers, not the messy ones, a cotton swab or a stick to apply.
What? I wouldn't believe this.
Leave
as something to do to my body if they say don't use your messy fingers.
Because we all have the clean ones.
Don't use the messy, messy ones.
That makes me think that, I mean, there's, the left hand is your wiping hand in some cultures, so I'm thinking that maybe that's fine, but I don't know what else to try
You wash your hands.
Especially nowadays. Okay, mix baking soda and household cleaner. Mix a couple drops of household cleaning ammonia and baking soda to structure a paste. Apply gently to the affected area and permit it to dry. This ought to relieve the itching. Remove with warm water.
I give you permission to dry.
Note that household ammonia can likewise be dabbed onto the bites without anyone else's input.
Whose input
is... The baking soda. Number 2, take the help form vinegar. Apple cider vinegar. Soak a cotton ball in apple cider vinegar. Place the doused cotton ball over the mosquito bites in the event that you would prefer not to hold it. Tape it in place. Leave there for a couple of minutes. You ought to find that the pain stops.
I used to have to take shots of apple cider vinegar, and I would rather someone hit me with a board. Like...
I've had it a couple of times. I was never
forced to take it. It's disgusting. I was forced to do shots of it every day.
It's upsetting. It's supposed to be
good. I have gummies now. I, like, the adult that I am, that I can make the choice and not have anyone else's input on how I get my vitamins, and I'm taking apple cider vinegar gummies because fuck shots of that stuff. It's disgusting.
You can get them in, like, a pill, too.
I used to do the pill, but I had an incident. All right.
I know where this is going.
This is...
I had a bad experience.
This is one of the funniest things that's ever happened to me because it was just so comical.
Is this the coughing?
Yep. I was on a trip, and I always have had a fear of swallowing larger pills because, A, I had a traumatic experience as a child that was a very abusive experience. Not going to get into that because that's not funny.
That's not what we're talking about.
That's not
what
we're talking about. So I've always had this thing with swallowing pills. So I took my apple cider vinegar pills and I took my activated charcoal pills because I've got, you know, tummy issues. I got a sensitive tummy. And I guess they didn't go down all the way because I was walking out of my room and I burped and it was just a cloud of black and it tasted like apple cider vinegar and my whole mouth was black and I was like, fuck, and I had to go back to my room and like rinse it all out. I was still coughing up puffs of black powder. It was ridiculous. That I wish somebody upset. Saw me. I looked like a demon. just a cloud of black.
I love it.
And ever since I haven't taken apple cider or charcoal pills.
That's a bad time.
It was so bad.
Anytime you get a pill stuck in your throat and it starts to break down and you taste that vileness is a very bad time. Bad time.
But if we ever make a movie where I have to play a demon, I know exactly how to make a really cool scene.
Cool. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be the safest. You're already supposed to put it in your body, so it would be like the safest way to do a coffee black cloud.
And if you edit it right, it could look like bugs or like flies coming out or just ash. Mm-hmm. Like, God, we need to make our short film.
Yes.
I think it's time. This October would be good. Oh, God, we're doing so much. Yeah.
Doing so much.
And we're going to make our short film.
Vinegar. Make a vinegar paste. Make a thick paste of corn flour and apple cider vinegar. Lightly apply the paste to the affected area. Permit to dry. It will alleviate the itching. Wash it off. Blah, blah, blah. Use water, fluid, or ice. Whether it's ice cold or sizzling, utilizing water may help alleviate
sizzling.
The itching. The method you
sizzling.
Pick presumably depends generally on which temperature you like best connected to your skin. Take a nice unwinding hot shower to stop mosquito bites from itching. The expansion of solid chickweed tea, 2 tablespoons of cider vinegar, or 2 mug ground cereals in shower can help alleviate the itching. If you're close to the ocean, take a dunk in seawater.
What?
You can likewise add salt to hot water to make salt water. Dunk a hot washcloth in hot water, blah, 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 blah.
Sugar.
Ice packs.
In
blah,
water.
Blah, blah, blah. Get an ice pack. Blah, 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 blah. Use washroom items. Your washroom bureau holds commonplace solutions for itching that you may not have contemplated.
Literally, when you said washroom, my mind went to, like, the room that you have your washer and dryer.
Nah.
And I was like, who's got items in there that they can use?
International lingo, baby.
Baby.
Rub a wet ibuprofen over the affected area.
What?
Commonly, don't utilize this method if the individual is allergic to headache medicine. Dab some toothpaste over the bite area.
I've done that before. I've done that on zits.
This can work like nothing else to relieve itching. Then why do you have 20 million ways listed here? Customary seasoned toothpaste is the best alternative to this method. Utilize any non-gel toothpaste. Toothpaste is not suitable for this method. Rub it on your bite, yet leave a glop.
Is calamine lotion even on that list?
Yeah.
Okay.
Give it a chance to dry overnight, wash in the morning. Try mouthwash to stop mosquito bites from itching. Essentially, dab over the affected area and leave to dry. Rub some underarm antiperspirant on the bite area. Try to utilize a non-scented antiperspirant if possible. Mixing smashed aspirin tablets with water makes a paste that could be effective in mitigating itching from mosquito bites. Try adding some refined witch hazel to calamine cream as an effective pain alleviation and itch soother for mosquitoes.
Is that saying that you need to refine witch hazel yourself? Or get it? What? I have questions.
Try scenting on the bites. It may sting a bit, however, it is better after a few minutes.
Try what?
Notwithstanding, fragrance can additionally pull in more mosquitoes, so don't utilize this in case you're still as a part of the area of the mosquitoes.
Oh my God.
Utilization baby powder to stop mosquito bites from itching. Snatch some infant powder, saran wrap, plastic sustenance wrap, and some pipe tape.
I've done saran wrap before.
Apply a liberal measure of infant powder onto the bite. Heal it up. Remove a bit of plastic wrap to cover the bite and powder. Utilize the pipe tape to hold both the plastic wrap and powder in place. Leave in place overnight for 3 nights consecutively, and it will dry the poison out, avoiding itching. Use Tiger Balm to stop mosquito bites from itching. Clean the area precisely with alcohol. Rub a little some enthusiastically on and just in the area of the bite. This will mess with the itching.
Ridiculous.
Use white tiger balm if possible.
What?
It appears to work better than the red. Don't rub on sensitive skin. Specifically, stay away from any area around the eyes. Number
Who's
five.
Got a mosquito bite on their eyes?
Use their soap. Yeah, I hope not. Face mosquito bites are the fucking worst.
I've got one on my nose before.
Bastards. The worst is in between your fingers or toes. Ugh. On that webbing? Boy, yep. That's a bitch. Wash the contaminated area utilizing soap and water to stop mosquito bites from itching. Soap may be sufficient to relieve the itching. Utilize a gentle soap in order to not build the irritation of the skin. Rub a bar of dry or wet soap over the itchy area. Apply the mud pack. The mud gives a cooling vibe.
Mud pack.
The mud gives a cooling vibe that briefly relieves itching. In case you're outside, make do with what you've got. Apply mud to the bite area. Wrap a bandage to hold it in place and leave it to dry. Wash the dried on mud with water. Take help from essential oils.
Nope. Nope.
Lavender oil.
Nope. I draw the line. Incorrect.
Lavender oil. Melaleuca or tea tree oil. Witch hazel.
Essential oils.
Go for herbal cures. Rub aloe vera gel or broken leaf from an aloe vera plant.
Poultice
of witch hazel. Witch hazel. New basil leaves that are squashed and specifically connected to the area. Use fruits and veggies. A couple of soil-grown foods or veggies might be put to great use in moving the itching pain. Cut a lemon or a lime into pieces and rub gently on the area, or simply squirt a bit of juice on it. Citric corrosive has some itch-alleviating properties. Utilize the normal plantain. Either move leaves of normal plantain between your fingers to concentrate the juice or rub the succulent leaf over the mosquito bite. The itch goes away in under a moment. Rub with a banana skin, in parentheses, peel, onto the bite. Rub the sap of an onion over the bite. Put a crude potato on the bite. Essentially, cut a potato 50-50 and rub an open side on one half of the bite. It helps alleviate the itching as the potato saps will dry over the bites. Number 10, use the camping sustenance on the off chance you all you need to turn to is your outdoor sustenance. It still may contain a few goodies that can help combat
itch. What the hell?
Inside the shell of an egg, you will discover an adaptable film. Cover the bite with the layer and let dry. As
Who?
It contracts,
Who?
It will draw out a percentage of the poison.
Who is going inside an egg and peeling out the film? Who is doing this? Who are these people?
Utilize your breakfast oats. Oats are prestigious for its against itching properties. So make a little paste of it and apply it to the bite area. Permit to dry and then wash off. Add a little meat tenderizer around the bite. Mix it in water first before applying. Apply some nectar to the bite area.
Pressure. You're just making shit up at this point.
Pressure, wiping, or rubbing. Utilize your fingernail to press sunbursts around the mosquito bite. It is a decent method if the mosquito bite has popped. Utilize your fingernail to press an X into the bite. This scatters the protein and stops the itch for some time. Try drawing around it and utilizing a ballpoint pen. For some people, this method works great. Put a bit of scotch tape.
Put a bitch.
Or comparative onto the bite. Clean the area with rubbing alcohol or ammonia first. Leave it there. Leaving it there will make the itch just about altogether go away. How many ways can you say the itch will go away?
It will not.
After a couple of hours, remove it. This will help remove a percentage of the poisons that cause the itch.
Percentage? What percentage?
Place your own particular saliva on the bites. Leave it to absorb. For some people, this helps in relieving the itching. Utilize an alcohol wipe and rub around the affected area.
Am I in hell?
This will remove the leftovers of the mosquito saliva. Hold a penny or a copper coin against the bites. Copper frequently brings about a noticeable improvement in the wake of being stung. Try putting a penny over it. The ways that she comes up with... We're not done. Apply the heat. Applying a wellspring of heat.
Wellspring! A wellspring of heat. That is how I'm going to describe
Applying
heat.
A wellspring of heat to the bite can remove the poisons created from the reaction between the mosquito saliva and antibodies, warm or dry.
What the fuck?
Oh, God. Oh, this is great. Apply a warm, dry material over the contaminated areas. On the off chance that a warm, dry fabric is not accessible, a toasted tortilla is an effective solution that will help shed the bites and peel hunger.
And, wait, peel hunger?
Like you're supposed to eat it when you're done.
So I'm going to put a warm tortilla on my mosquito bite and then eat it.
Utilize utilize a blow dryer to blow hot air on it. It's the simplest approach.
A wellspring of hot air. A wellspring of hot air.
It will quit itching for blown. A long time. Press a warm spoon to the bite. Put a metal spoon in steaming hot water for a moment. Remove the spoon, let it cool for a few seconds, press it to the affected area. Hold it there for 10 to 30 seconds. Rehash several times while the water is still hot. And do this a few times every day until your bite is recuperated.
This is insanity.
Some commercial arrangements. A couple business things that may or may not help. Try Vicks Vapor Rub.
Oh my god.
Utilization nail polish, ideally clear. Search for arrangements need okay. to alleviate.
Is that English?
Number 14. Imperfection to stop mosquito bites from itching. Imperfection. Be mindful that the itching won't totally diminish until the imperfection has mended appropriately. The itch itself is created by the mosquito saliva, an anticoagulant. It causes the body to deliver a histamine reaction, making a slight itchiness around the bite area for a mellow allergic reaction. All right. She's breaking down.
All right, so now we're explaining what happens when you get bit yeah. after an obscene amount of reasons on how to help yourself, which none of them are accurate.
15. Treatment to stop mosquito bites from itching. Treat the bites when they first happen, at the earliest opportunity. Mean to decrease the potential for extreme itching by treating the bite areas. Wash the bite area with water, or with rubbing alcohol or alcohol wipes. For individuals who have an extreme reaction to the bites and look as though they've gotten chicken pox, apply an antihistamine cream or moisturizer. Particularly effective are salves containing consolidation of antihistamine, pain-relieving, and corticosteroid.
You want to try that one again?
Corticosteroid, as this can relieve both itching and pain. Washing a germ-free will frequently relieve beginning pain from an extant bite. 16. Itch-relieving solution to stop mosquito bites from itching. And then other useful tips.
Does it just say, and other useful tips?
Other useful tips to stop mosquito bites from itching.
All right.
Try not to let the mosquito bites interact with covers. They will rub on the sweeping and itch significantly more. On the off chance that you have a bite on your foot, cover it with a Band-Aid and flip lemon. Cover
excuse
shoes
the chair.
They contaminate it. And then we've got more creams. Red Cross toothache prescription.
Wow.
It keeps going. Oh, that's the end.
Oh. Oh. I want to go back to me besmirching essential oils in that I feel like in this case, yes. Yes, you could use tea tree oil or lavender and maybe, but they are not a cure for anything. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy, howdy.
So, but another one that I was starting to look into was the Luck of Gallipoli and then ley lines. So those were things that I had on the list and didn't quite get to, but the grab bag continues.
Okay.
So what you think?
Oh boy. I am very thankful we went on this journey together. I have a lot to think about.
I like that every single one almost always produces another question. Like, oh, now that I know that sheep is the main thing in their diet, you know what I do want to get into?
It brings
goats.
More questions,
like,
yeah.
Every single time we answer something, almost certainly that leads to something else.
Cheese and because crackers.
We'll never run out of things to talk about.
Some of those were really stupid. I want to know where they came from. Yes, I need to know who decided this was a fucking thing. Like,
literally
I need to know.
Put any paste you have on hand on it, and that'll help, because it'll dry it out.
None of it.
Draw the poison out.
None of it works. First of all, it's not fucking poison. It's saliva. It's
put
not
your own
venom.
Saliva on it.
It's just fucking... Oh my god. And then saying how it'll fix everything, but then it doesn't, but then it's only just a percentage. No!
Why do we need so many ways if
just
it works?
Burn it off! Here, I'm really surprised there wasn't a take a scalpel-like item and slice the affected area off, apply cotton, press hard, but not too hard.
Maintain pressure. Decent force, but not too much.
If you can't find cotton, use an old shirt, but make sure it's not messy.
Use a tortilla.
It'll soak up the blood. How else can we make this as fucking ridiculous as possible?
Ooh, I had a great time.
Coat the tortilla in queso before applying to skin. It will break down the proteins.
When I made it through that whole thing, I went, I'm reading this thing in its entirety.
I'm so broken, but I'm really glad that you did.
Also, though, I want to note that the mosquito, the eggs and hot spoon were way down on the list, which were actually...
The actual items that are good for fucking curing, good for mosquito bites were at the bottom of the list. Yep. They didn't mention calamine until the bottom with refined witch hazel. How the fuck do you want me to refine my witch hazel?
The one thing I wanted to say, though, is the sunbursts around is what I was taught.
Yeah.
And then my peers were doing the X over top, which was more painful. And I think that's why, like, I think it's my grandma's side in Tennessee did the starburst, like you do a cross hatch of, like, a north-south, like, a fucking target.
You mean an X?
But, no, it's more like a plus sign. Depends on your orientation.
It's an X.
And then, like, more. Like, you start with that, but no, you wouldn't go through
it. It's an X.
You would go around it. So, like, if you had the bite, you would go around it, but hang not on. Through it.
Hang on.
And then keep going around it. Which is the sunburst.
Drea.
Sunburst. Yeah, but you see that you're pressing
that
in? No, but it would
is
be...
Is that a plus sign or an
it
X?
It would go around it. You don't actually get the bite. It's not crossing. You're not doing it through the bite.
Oh, you're talking about... Okay,
It's like a baby version of not actually pressing on the bite, but going around it with lines.
Can you do that again?
Later. We'll get into that later. I am so fucking hot.
All right.
I am sweating my ass off.
Okay. Here. I'll do our outro. You.
What are we talking about?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, everyone in between, and everyone who doesn't wish to be in between, but outside of that, thank you for tuning in to the Wowta podcast. I am Samantha, and that was Drea, and we are so happy you were here with us.
Absolutely.
Find us on all social media at the Wowta podcast. If you want to give us something to talk about, if you have a question, concern, if you know some very strange old wives' tale that your mother or whoever in your life told you about, send it to us at thewowtapodcast@gmail.com. We will absolutely look at it, talk about it, have fun with it. We love interacting with y'all.
Hell yeah. If you want to support us further, we have a Patreon, House of the Slither Sisters. That way you can get some more fun content, but also you get a means to pick topics directly. There's more perks with all of our podcast platform on there. We're going to have some really, really fun photo shoots coming up. That's the best way to be able to really get this thing going even further. We've got a lot of really cool stuff. We have a lot of really fun stuff planned, but there's some really great perks in there in order to contribute to the podcast, including getting to be on it if you are generous enough. So we're excited to start incorporating some other guests and some more fun topics. So find us on Patreon. Find us on the socials.
Yep. So have a good day, evening, afternoon, in between, what the fuck ever you prefer.
Hell yeah.
Wowta!